Hello and welcome to another FL Teams Florida Gators show. My name is Zach Milliron and I will be providing you content on the Florida Gators with FL Teams. So we last had a show a couple days ago, but if you can believe it or not, more things have developed being Florida Gator related that I wanted to go over. And I also want to touch on a couple things that I didn't get to in the last show. First thing is recruiting. Wow. So a lot of people are now referring to Coach Billy Napier as Blue Chip Billy, as he signed several other four-star recruits this past weekend from the 2023 class and a legacy guy in Ernest Graham's son, who's a linebacker out of Georgia, on the 2024 upcoming class. Now, again, these are all verbal commitments. Okay, nobody has signed anything. So until actual national signing day comes, these guys could decommit. Hopefully they won't. But I just like to preface with saying that because some people think, well, they committed. Well, it's a verbal commit. Until they officially sign on signing day, nothing is set in stone. So you have a couple guys that are immediately going to up the recruiting class. I believe Florida's recruiting class is now ranked in the top 10 with several four-stars. They have 18 players that are four-star recruits. Okay, 18. To put that into perspective, the previous regime didn't get that many four-stars in the 2.5 years that they were on the University of Florida campus. So Billy Napier and staff have been doing an incredible job. And it just goes to show you, you know, Billy Napier came in, and when they asked him about recruiting, when he came back in December with the 2022 class, he said they were going to evaluate everything. And they weren't going to rush to any judgment. And they're really going to take their time and set their infrastructure and foundation in order to build moving forward. And he has done just that. He hired an army of staff from inside the building dealing with recruiting, from anything from sending birthday cards to checking up on recruits to sending text messages, phone calls, all that stuff, and he's hired the right assistants in place to really carry this out. And it's starting to pay dividends. You know, one of the big things this week was, you know, for the University of Florida, you know, back in June, he took a lot of heat, and I didn't think it was warranted, but he had a couple guys that they swung and missed on. But they were getting the University of Florida Gator hat on the table. And now you're actually seeing these guys that just committed this weekend, verbally committed, you know, they picked the University of Florida over Alabama. One guy in the state of Alabama picked University of Florida over Alabama. The other guy had offers from Alabama, Georgia hats on the table, Florida hat on the table, and he picked the Gators. So that's a huge win for the Gators as far as when it comes to recruiting. Now, again, I don't want to spend too much time on recruiting. I know it's the lifeblood of a program, and you can't compete at the highest level without high, talented 4- and 5-star recruits. But, you know, I just wanted to say all these guys are in the top 300. They're blue-chip players, so they're legitimate 4-stars. And hopefully they end up coming to the University of Florida after they verbally committed. But Billy Napier has been doing an outstanding job on the recruiting front thus far. Also, some other off-the-field news, and this happened, this has been going on since SEC Media Days, and it's actually been going on for the last couple years, and I want to touch on the Florida-Georgia game. Florida-Georgia game, they've been meeting in Jacksonville since 1933, except for 2 years when they played once between the Hedges and once in Gainesville, when, at the time, the Jacksonville Municipal Stadium was being renovated. Also to note, both those years, Steve Spurrier hung 52 on the Georgia Bulldogs. Well, Kirby Smart started running his mouth again during SEC Media Days about, we got to move the game. It's an unfair advantage. I lose the recruiting weekend. We got to move the game. So what has transpired the last couple weeks was NCAA said, okay, the home team can host recruits. Okay, so what that means is, for instance, University of Georgia is labeled as the home team this year, which means they will be able to host recruits during this year's 2022 game. Next year, the University of Florida will be labeled as the home team 2023, and they will be able to host recruits. So Is it a huge win for Kirby Smart? I guess so. I mean, that's a coveted game. You're going to have recruits from all over the country wanting to come and experience that game. So it's an awesome experience as someone who's been there. There's nothing that beats it, you know. You have crowds split 50-50, red and black on one side, orange and blue on the other, from the parking lots to the stadium. It's a really unique atmosphere, and it's an atmosphere that I've gotten fortunate enough to really experience with my uncle several times the last couple years, and I'm looking forward to going again this year. It's truly a remarkable experience, and one that, personally, I feel it should never leave Jacksonville. You know, college football with the NIL and, you know, just becoming so commercial and players being paid. I get it. These guys need to be compensated. They work really hard. I'm not saying that shouldn't happen. But when it starts to potentially ruin the longstanding traditions, such as the Florida-Georgia game, and certain coaches like Kirby Smart wanting it moved out of Jacksonville due to, you know, he's saying it's a recruiting disadvantage, you know, I have to disagree with him on that. One thing I'll also add is it's very likely that the SEC going forward, once Oklahoma and Texas join the conference, there's going to be 9 conference games. And I think that what's going to happen, and this is just my opinion, my speculation, every team's going to get 4 home games, 4 away games, and 1 neutral site game, I think, if they go to 9 conference games. Because if you look at the landscape, so you have Texas, Oklahoma coming in. They play at the Cotton Bowl, or the old Cotton Bowl. They're not giving up that neutral site game when they come to the SEC. That's another game, long-standing. Texas, Oklahoma have always met there, okay, going back to decades and decades. Then you also have Texas A&M and Arkansas. Arkansas and Texas A&M meet in Jerry's World in Dallas. Jerry Jones is a huge, huge alumni of Arkansas Razorbacks. They're not giving up that game. They're not giving up that neutral site game. And then you have Florida, Georgia. So what I see happening is each team plays that 9th conference game on a neutral site. And they could figure that out amongst the SEC teams. But I definitely don't see the Florida-Georgia game going anywhere. And Kirby Smart can run his mouth all he wants. The game's staying in Jacksonville. I got news for you, Kirby. The game is bigger than you. It's bigger than the University of Georgia. It's bigger than the University of Florida. It's bigger than the city of Jacksonville. They've been playing there since 1933. It's going to stay in Jacksonville, in my opinion. And if that's not enough, then I'll just get right down to the root numbers. So the University of Florida and the University of Georgia make, on average, $2.5 million per home game. Guess how much money they make with the Florida-Georgia game, with the latest contract. And again, these numbers are only going to go up as the years go on and more money is poured into college football. Guess. Just guess. University of Florida, University of Georgia come out between the money that the city of Jacksonville pays them and then they split the gate. Both teams make around $4.5 million. $4.5 million. So compared to your $2.5 million that you're making for a home game that you host, each school is walking away with $4.5 million for Florida, Georgia. Again, another reason the game is not moving. College football nowadays is really big on all about money. Both schools aren't throwing away an additional $2 million that they make from that game. Not to mention, the city of Jacksonville covers the travel expenses. They pay for Georgia to fly down, and they pay for University of Florida to bus up. Then Kirby was saying, you know, the miles and distance isn't fair. It takes about the same amount of time to get on a bus from Gainesville and drive to Jacksonville and get situated, load the buses, unload the buses, drive there, at about the same time that does to fly from Athens to Jacksonville Airport. So it's pretty equal. Again, the big sticking point is each team makes $4.5 million off that game from the latest contract through 2025, and then who knows how much they're going to make. So if we're just looking at money alone, I don't think the Florida-Georgia game is going anywhere. But if you also want to look at the pageantry of college football and the tradition, they're not moving the game. in my opinion. I think that it would be a crazy decision to move it. You have a lineage of both alumni bases from Florida, Georgia that grew up going to that game. You know, great, 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 great grandparents and grandparents and uncles and aunts. It's really a tradition. It's what college football is all about. And I could go on and on about that. It's a situation I'm very passionate about when it comes to not just that game, but the passion of college athletics as a whole. You know, like I said, from the moment you get over that bridge in Jacksonville, you have orange and blue on one side, red and black on the other. It's a crazy atmosphere. I love it. It's what makes SEC football truly terrific. And that's my stance on it. And I don't want that game to ever leave. And I don't think it will ever leave, whether you're looking at the pageantry and the history of it, or you look at it from a pure economic standpoint of how the teams make $4.5 million versus the two and a half they make on an average home game. Now, you could say, well, they would be home, but another point of it is, so Kirby Smart wants to have it the home game for more recruits. He says he loses a recruiting weekend. So now this year, like I said, they're going to allow recruits for the home team to be there. The other thing to keep in mind is the 50-50 split. You get roughly 43,000 fans on each side. If the game's in Athens, Georgia, or the game's in Gainesville, Florida, the visiting section is not getting 43,000. They're getting at the most 8,000 as what it's allotted now for on the upper level of a visiting team coming in to either venue. So on that note, you're going to have a lot of unhappy fans of each fan base that are used to going to that game that all of a sudden are not going to be able to get tickets to that game. Another reason. So I just laid out multiple reasons why the Florida-Georgia game is not going to be leaving Jacksonville, in my opinion. So Kirby Smart can run his mouth all he wants. Reality is that game is bigger than him. That game is bigger than Georgia. That game is bigger than Florida. One thing I really liked about Billy Napier's comments during SEC Media Day was when they asked him his opinion about the game, he kind of kept quiet, and he said, you know, I got to experience the game before I give my opinion. Because Billy knows that game is the tradition of college football, and that game shouldn't be messed with. And I really appreciate his comments that he didn't dive into and say, yeah, I think, you know, maybe we should talk about moving the game or whatever. You know, he let Kirby run his mouth and do the talking. And, you know, Kirby's been doing a lot of that. And, hey, you know what? He probably, he deserves a lot, some of it because of, you know, winning a national title with the University of Georgia last year. And, you know, I don't blame him. You know, Kirby's going to ask for the moon because he feels like he can get it after bringing them a national championship last year. So I don't blame him. Good try, Kirby. But I think the game will forever be in Jacksonville, at least for the foreseeable future, in my opinion. So let's transition now to on-the-field things. So University of Florida had their first scrimmage of the fall last weekend. And during Billy Napier's press conference, you know, he made a statement that the defense really played well. They forced several turnovers, are the reports, and that, you know, the starting offense had some trouble in the red zone that they got to clean up. I personally am of the opinion, with the co-defensive coordinators they have coming in and the other great defensive assistants, and they, you know, addition by subtraction of getting rid of Grantham right there, I think the Gator defense is going to have a statement this year. They're out to prove, and I think they're going to be on a mission. And I would not be surprised if the Florida Gator defense is ranked one of the top defenses in SEC. Maybe not the top, but at least in the upper third. I think it's all about if they can stay healthy. You know, you have a lot of playmakers on that defense. You have a lot of guys, you know, like Prinsley at defensive end, Tyreek Sapp, a freshman coming in at defensive end, who are going to make a lot of noise. You have Desmond Watson coming in at nose tackle, right? You got, can't forget about Gervon Dexter at D tackle, right? Or McClendon, freshman coming in that I think is going to make some noise. You have, of course, Brenton Cox, who came back, okay? You got him. And you have a host of other players. You got Ventrell Miller, who came back after getting hurt last year. He said he didn't want to go out that way. He's coming back as a middle linebacker, strong voice, strong leader of the defense. All right, you have Armani Burney coming back at linebacker as well. You have a lot of these guys that are coming back, trading, okay? Then at free safety, you got Rashad Torrance, okay? You got Jason Marshall. You got Travis Johnson. All these names, I think, are going to be major playmakers for the defense, for the Gators this year on defense. Now, the key is going to be, can they stay healthy? The Gators cannot afford an injury on defense. Obviously, the SEC, tough conference. Even their non-conference games this year, you look at the likes of Utah and Florida State, no easy game, as I talked about in the last show. So, if the Gators can stay healthy, especially on the defensive side, those upperclassmen that I mentioned, I think, are really going to be key pieces. And they're going to be able to go out there and make a statement. And I think after what happened last year, when Gator defense really, let's just face it, poor tackling, couldn't stop the run, couldn't get pressure on the quarterback, all those things I think are going to be much improved this year. And I think the Gators are going to have a big year on defense. If you're looking at offensively, and we touched on this in the last show, but offensively, obviously you have Anthony Richardson at quarterback, all right? He has to stay healthy, as we talked about in the last show. You know, he had a lot of nagging injuries last year, hamstring issues, got his knee cleaned up in December, so he's good to go and everything firing on all cylinders. He's got to stay healthy because we don't know how good Jack Miller is behind him, or Jalen Kitna, if we had to go to him. So, Anthony Richardson, again, like I touched on in the last show, some NFL draft pronosticators are having him potentially be a first-round pick. I'd love to see him live up to that, because I think if he does, that means University of Florida is far exceeding expectations. You know, the running back room is a huge strength for Florida this season, with Montrell Johnson transfer from Louisiana Lafayette, who was with Billy Napier. You also have Naquan Wright, who was a stud last year, and Lorenzo Lingard, who, don't forget, guys, Lorenzo Lingard was once a five-star recruit. You want to talk about recruiting. He used to be a five-star recruit when he signed with the Miami Hurricanes, and he transferred, he redshirted. He didn't get a lot of carries last year. This year, you know, I feel like he's going to, again, be another statement maker. So those are three guys right there with Johnson, Wright, and Lingard that are solid running backs. All three of them could be a starter at another school. So running back room, definitely a plus. Anthony Richardson, if he stays healthy, definitely a plus. I even think, like I touched on in the last show, the offensive line, I think, is going to be better. You know, there's talk around the Florida Gator football program this fall that they can really count on eight solid guys on the offensive line. When have we been able to say that? From Richard Garage to Ethan White, okay, to the Osiris Torrance, another transfer came with Billy Napier from Louisiana Lafayette. He's going to be a huge piece at right guard, all right? So I think the Gators are actually, if they can stay healthy, they're going to be much improved. And that's why I am one of the few people that are so optimistic on the season. Now, if they suffer injuries at major positions, unfortunately this year, due to lack of recruiting from previous regimes, they don't have a lot of solid backups. It also, not just injuries, but when you get into that meat of the SEC schedule, you know, you're going to deal with attrition. You're going to deal with guys that they can't play, you know, all 70 snaps on offense and all 70 snaps on defense. So you're going to have guys like Sapp step up, freshman on the D-line. He's got to come through. You're going to have to be able to count on guys like that to give starters such as Prinsley a break, okay? And on offense, same thing. You know, Justin Shorter can't play every snap at wide receiver. He's going to have Jaquavion Frazier step up. He's a junior. He's been there. Or Marcus Burke, freshman, he's going to have to step up. guys like that are going to have to step up. And if the Gator depth can step up even just a little bit, I see the Gators far surpassing expectations this year. Another poll that came out this week was the Writers' Poll, the AP Writers' Poll. Gators were picked 37th. Again, nobody's expecting them to do anything. I think that's great. I think that, you know, the Gators can come in under the radar. They have plenty of bulletin board material as far as people saying they're not going to do much, they're not going to be very good. Just this week alone, in that AP Writers' Poll, Gators were picked 37th. 37th. Utah, by the way, came in at number 7. Okay, so that's your opening Saturday matchup in the Swamp. Number 7 Utah coming in versus number 37 Florida. All right, we'll get more to Utah in a minute. But also, ESPN did their preview of the SEC this week, and they picked the Gators 11th. 11th out of 14 teams. The only teams that were below them, okay, were Missouri and Vanderbilt. Okay? Missouri and Vanderbilt were below them. All right? And Mississippi State was in there as well. But South Carolina was picked ahead of them. Kentucky was picked ahead of them. Tennessee was picked ahead of them. LSU, Texas A&M, Auburn. So, and then they have, obviously, Alabama, Georgia up at the top, Texas A&M up at the top. But the Gators were picked 11th out of 14th. I can't remember a year where the Gators were picked so as low when ESPN did their preseason conference picks. Again, more disrespect for the Gators. I'm all for it. I think that Billy Napier and the coaching staff are going to be using this as fuel. I think the players see this and use it as fuel. Remember, back to SEC media days, the players know they have something to prove. A lot of these guys that came back, like Trey Dean, Brenton Cox, okay, they said it themselves. They did not like how last season ended. Okay, they did not like their performance on the field. They did not like how Florida was labeled as a soft football team, as a football team who missed tackles. Like I said before, I think they're out to make a statement this year. And this is just more fuel to the fire, then being picked 11th out of 14th by ESPN in a preseason Southeastern Conference poll. So, you know, again, if the Gators can stay healthy, I expect big things. Also, another slight, SEC Network this week. Stinchcomb was going through their schedule. Win, loss, that's a win, that's a loss. He had them at 6-6, okay? He had them at 6-6. Again, another slight, he had them starting 1-3 with losses to Utah, Kentucky, and Tennessee. He had them losing all of the stretch of LSU, Georgia, Texas A&M, South Carolina. Okay? So, again, another slight. I say bring it on. I say more bulletin, more material, more fuel for the fire. I think the Gators are going to be ready, and I am excited for the season. I hope that you guys following us, following FL teams, are excited for the season. Remember, you can stay locked in with Florida Gator news through FL teams, through flteams.com, through FL teams Twitter, through FL teams Facebook, and FL teams YouTube, where you can watch the show, and FL teams on Apple Podcasts, where you can listen to the show. We would love to hear your opinion on the Florida Gators. How do you think they're going to do this year? What's your opinion? Do you agree with them being picked 11th out of 14th? Do you agree with them being 37th in the latest AP poll? Do you agree with the SEC Network thinking they're going to finish 6-6? We would love to hear your opinion on the Florida Gators. Comment on the YouTube video. Comment on FL Teams Facebook. We'd love to hear it. We want social engagement with our listeners and watchers through FL Teams. So go for it. Give me your opinion. What do you think? Again, my name is Zach Milliron, covering the Florida Gators for FL Teams. I also cover the NHL Tampa Bay Lightning. And it's just great. It's great that we can bring you awesome content. So that about does it. One more thing I wanted to add. I said I promised I'd talk about Utah for a second. We will do a full preview as far as breakdown of Utah going into game week when game week occurs in a couple weeks. But a couple tidbits out of Utah camp were that Kyle Whittingham, their head coach, is having them practice indoors with the heat on to simulate humidity and heat. They're also piping in sound. I say go for it, bring it on. There's no amount of heat that you can pipe in and sound that you can pipe in to get ready for the swamp on a Saturday night in September. None. You can't raise the thermostat high enough to simulate the heat and humidity that the Utah Utes are going to experience when they come into the swamp September 3rd. I'm ready. I know if you're listening and watching this video as a Florida fan, you're ready. Again, let us know at FL Teams, what do you think about the Florida Gators' upcoming season? We'd love to hear it. Until then, I'm Zach Milliron for FL Teams covering the Florida Gators. We love that you are locked in following all the content, and we are very excited to bring it to you. Until then, let us know what your opinion is on the Florida Gators season coming up. Do you agree with the prognosticator? Do you agree with the predictions? Do you agree with being ranked 37? Do you agree with being 6-6? Do you agree with ESPN that they picked Florida 11th out of 14 in the SEC this upcoming season? Again, we'd love to hear from you. Until then, I'm Zach Milliron, covering Florida Gators for FL Teams, and I'll see you in the next episode.